urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is June 9th, 2025. I am here live with you in Philadelphia. It's a little cloudy today. We had some rain, which we need, and I think the drought is over here in the Philadelphia region, which is a great thing. But we need to really, truly pray. So let us begin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer this program up to you and to all who are listening. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that your hand will descend upon all those who are listening, all those who want to listen, and we pray for a very powerful program to touch the hearts of many. Lord Jesus, we pray right now in your holy name and through your precious blood for all the riots in Los Angeles that they will stop. Lord Jesus, we pray that they will stop, that people will not get hurt, and we pray for protection upon our police and the National Guard and the innocents. We pray, Jesus, for your holy and divine presence there. We pray for all the cities, Lord Jesus, today, that there will be peace. Father God, we pray for peace in the Ukraine. Jesus, let there be a miracle. We pray that no more deaths. We pray, we stand, and we pray through the intercession of the Blessed Mother for the Ukraine to be safe and delivered. And Jesus, we pray for peace there. We pray for peace in the Middle East, Father God, for those who are starving. We pray that food will be provided and medical supplies. And Jesus, we pray for peace. You are the Prince of Peace. And so we give you all these prayer petitions. Father God, we pray for all those who are listening today who need peace in their families, peace in their parish, or peace at work. Jesus, we offer up all of these prayer petitions for all who are listening today on WTMR. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. We know that you have a divine plan for all of us, that you are the King of Kings and that you are in charge. So we thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what's the topic today? What do you think would be the topic today with everything going on, all the angst and the hatred and the anger that's happening? So are you afraid to embrace the cross? Are you afraid to embrace the cross? This was asked of me probably 20-some years ago by one of my spiritual directors. He said, Anne, are you afraid to embrace the cross? Of course I am, because if you're not living in grace and you're not living in the arms of God the Father, you're going to be afraid of everything. So I remember thinking, well, of course, what does this mean? I didn't know what it meant. So in today, praying about the program, this is what really struck my heart, to really discuss in depth and share some of my personal stories with you. Now, the cross will teach us great things. I remember Father Bill McCarthy. For those of you who remember him, he wrote so many beautiful books. He was involved at the Unity Conference with in his Sign Catholic Radio Network, and he was a great retreat director. He was the one who talked about the cross to me. And so he came to mind today. He is no longer with us. He's in the arms of God the Father. But wow, was he ever a great retreat director, spiritual director, and of course, author. So he taught that the cross will teach us great things. Now, he didn't want us to be afraid to stand in spirit at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother, with St. John and St. Mary Magdalene. You'll be amazed at what you'll learn if you open your heart today, dear listeners, and ask God to help you understand why God loved you so much that he died for you. It is only at the foot of the cross that we begin to understand that suffering, as Mother Teresa once said, is a kiss from the cross of Jesus. Now, the cross is a tough topic, isn't it? I remember it was a very tough topic for me to hear, and I kind of tuned it out once in a while, because this is where we learn about tough love. Now, Jesus didn't love suffering for its own sake, and neither should we. Now, suffering for its own sake has no meaning whatsoever, but the suffering sanctified by Jesus Christ and our suffering in union with him has great power and great wisdom. Now, Saint Bonaventure, if those of you who don't know him, he was a Franciscan doctor of the church. Guess what? He called the cross the new staff of Moses. Have you ever heard that? The new staff of Moses. And when Moses came to the Red Sea, God told him to lift up his staff and part the waters of the sea with it. Exodus 14, verses 16. Now, he did so, and the Israelites escaped the Egyptians over the dry ground. Now, Saint Bonaventure said that the cross of Jesus is the new staff that we all have. Now, with that staff, Jesus has parted not only the sea, but allowing people to journey to the promised land. Rather, he has opened the doors to the kingdom of heaven that were closed by the sin of our first parents. And with that new staff, the cross, he has literally opened the way to eternal life. Now think about the power of the cross. This is why we wear crosses. This is why crosses are in our church. And I'm not talking about these upside down crosses and sideways crosses, but true crosses representing our Christianity. Now, St. Francis knew the importance of joy when carrying a cross as a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. That's what we're all involved in. And that the devil can't harm the servant of God whom he sees filled with holy joy. Not that fake joy from comedians, but the holy joy. The saint taught that the devil goes around scattering the dust of sadness and discouragement, that Babylonian stuff. He called it reference to the sorrow of the Jewish people during their exile in Babylon. They couldn't even sing the songs of the Lord in this foreign land. You can look that up in Psalm 137, verse 4. If we are covered with the armor of joy while carrying our crosses, the devil scatters his Babylonian dust in vain. Now, on the other hand, if we lack the armor of joy while carrying our cross, we can't easily become victimized by a sadness that also repels others. Now, Saint Francis said that the devil rejoices most when he can steal the joy out of the heart of a servant of God. Now, don't we see that? Don't we feel that? It's happened to many of us. See, St. Francis understood that one sad Christian can easily infect others with sadness. Now, whenever St. Francis would see a sad friar, he would tell them he had no right to inflict his sadness on all the others, bringing their spirits down. So don't we do that with our families? You know, if we're sad and our family see us sad, it brings everybody down. He would tell us that a sad friar to go away and pray until he got his joy back. And then he could safely come and join the other brethren. Now think about that today. Are you sad? Is there something happening in your family, in your life, in your business, in your neighborhood, in your parish? Are you bringing others down with you? Now, spiritual sadness was one of the eight thoughts or demons that the desert fathers said could tempt them and us too. This included pride, vanity, avarice, gluttony, lust, anger, and spiritual sadness. Now, Saint Gregory the Great later rearrange this list into what we call, and we've talked about this on radio, the seven capital sins. He first reduced it by dropping vanity, believe it or not, which was close to pride. He next restricted the listlessness or apathy to sloth or laziness. And he reduced spiritual sadness to envy, which is sadness at the good of another. The desert monks had taught that spiritual sadness is broader than the sadness of envy. It's a general sadness which brings an unhappiness that seems to paralyze us. It paralyzes our soul, weighs it down in sorrow. Now, such sadness can easily be an obstacle, my friends, to our personal spiritual growth, as well as our ability to witness to Christ. Now, another potential source of sadness comes from a negative spirit that leads us to complain and complain and gossip when everything is not just right. Now, I want you to answer this question. Are we like this? When things are not just right, do we start to get negative spiritually? Do we start to gossip? Do we doubt the Lord? We must not naively expect that everything will work out smoothly all the time. That's right. We can expect it to work out all the time. But if we surrender to the Lord, it's in God's time and in God's will, not ours. Now, in our Christian walk, we're always bound to meet people whose personalities have sharp edges. Now, I'm laughing because sometimes I have a sharp edge. It's my husband. I have a sharp edge. Now, we must be careful not to let them go under our skin. Even more, we must avoid an argumentative attitude. Some people take great pleasure in arguing. That's right. Great pleasure in arguing or having a negative spirit. If you have spiritual joy, this St. Francis said this, it eases our burdens. Now think about that. It eases our burdens, joy. It protects us from discouragement. It gives us a lightheartedness to everyday life. Now, it also can keep us singing. I don't think my husband has heard me, but I started singing when I'm really, really down and out. Deep in my heart, I start singing. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And do you know, I started to sense that joy, joy, joy down deep in my heart when I didn't feel it. I made a decision to sing that song when I felt, and I do feel, down and out. I've got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Try it tonight. Now, in the early days of St. Francis, he went about one day like a troubadour of the Lord, singing his praises in French in the Assisi countryside. Now, it would be really wonderful if all of you are listening to study his life. Study his life. A group of thieves once came upon him, and when they asked him who he was, St. Francis, barefoot, dressed in a poor penitent's tunic, answered that he was a herald of the great king. Now, can you imagine being in a local box store and you're in your flip-flops and shorts and someone asks you, who are you? I'm a herald of the great king. They'll think you're a Looney Tune. But you can twist it a little bit and say, I'm a child of God and I'm blessed. You can. Because someone may come up to you and say, why are you so happy? Or they may know you. Well, what is it? We've been praying for your daughter, your son, and you're so peaceful. Why is that? I always ask Kathleen McCarthy that. I am always amazed, and I would love to interview her one day. All the children, the 12 children married, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and the hundreds, literally, she gets hundreds of texts a day from people asking for prayer. She has a sense of peace that is truly mystical. She's not worried about Joey riding a bicycle and falling or someone in the hospital or the ER. She just surrenders it to the Lord and she has peace. And she prays literally for all the people who are listening to this radio network, all those she encounters, and for all the prayer petitions that come through to her. I'm always amazed that she's not, and I'm in a state of anxiety with four grandsons. I can't imagine her family. And this is why I was led, actually last week when I couldn't come live on the radio, I was really led to open up volume 4 of In the Silence of My Heart from December 2010 to December 2011, the prophetic words through Kathleen McCarthy. And by the way, she has the Nikhil Obstadt, an imprimatur from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So it's not some Looney Tune coming up with prophetic words, but these have been scanned and approved by the church. So I have these books, and I love to recommend them to people who are really hurting, to just open them up and say, Lord, what is it that you want to say today? As she does on Tuesdays many times. So what do you know? The Lord led me to do this again. I've been doing this now haphazardly for years since the books came out. But in the past week or so, it has been really divinely inspired for me to do this. So I have the book in front of me, and I ask the Lord, what is your prophetic word today? That people don't have to wait till tomorrow. What is your prophetic word for those who are carrying the cross, who need joy? I could preach for hours. It means nothing. Jesus wants to speak to you through his sacred scripture, through the sacraments, and through his beautiful, beautiful servants. So, my friends, I've asked the Lord to give you a special prophetic message today from one of Kathleen's books. So are you ready? It's from volume 4, and I have no idea what it is that the Lord wants of you. We have many surprises, so here we go. I tell you to take the time to come away to a quiet place and be with me. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to fill you with an awareness of my presence within you. I want you to know that I surround you with witnesses who have gone before you, who have run the race, who have fought the good fight. They cheer you on. So tonight, I say to each of you, come away with me to a quiet place. In that moment of silence, in that moment of allowing me to speak to your heart, to enlighten your mind and your understanding to truth, in that moment that you allow me to comfort your heart, to heal your soul, just allowing me to move in you for that short time, you will experience grace for the entire day. And as you come to me more often in the quiet of your mind and heart and soul, I will speak about my love for you. I will affirm you and confirm you. I will correct you and guide you. And yes, I will give you wisdom, a double portion. Don't you realize this is the better choice? Come away to a quiet place and spend some time with me. And I'm with you at every moment of every day. But because of the noise, the activity, searching for the things you want, you do not see nor hear or recognize my presence with you. So be blessed, be renewed, be healed, be comforted, be wise. Come away with me to a quiet place. My people, do not be so concerned and so worried about people that are not listening to you. Be more concerned about them watching you. And as they look, as they watch you, your children, your mates, your friends, your family, your neighbors, and your parishioners, when they see you and when they watch you, be more concerned with that. Then ponder the fact as you ask yourself, What kind of witness am I being for others as they watch? Because your actions will speak much louder than your words. Do you really put on Christ? Do you love, yes, even those who feel you are unlovable? And do you forgive those who curse you or gossip about you? Do you forgive those who wound your heart, who crush your spirit, who use and abuse you? Do you forgive? Do you forgive as I've forgiven? This is what it means to be credible. This is what it means to be authentic. So be more aware of this for those who are watching you than those who are listening. I call you to be aware of your words. Be aware of the words that can tear down, hurt, wound, and ridicule. Be aware of the way that you can gossip, the way that you are talebearer, and without even realizing it, how that tale gets told time and time again. And by the time it reaches the person who you've talked about, there's grave danger to the soul. You see, you're called to love as I've loved you. You're called to show mercy as I am merciful. You're called to speak the truth in gentleness, in compassion. And you're called to let your light shine brightly in the darkness while there's time to let it shine. You're called to make a difference. And you're called to leave behind you a legacy of love, a legacy of truth, a legacy of mercy, for many will forget your words, but they'll never forget your example. And so I tell you this night and remind you time and time again to stay focused on your mission, the mission to bring the good news into a world that's filled with bad news. Your mission to speak my word, to speak the truth. And if you're not reading my word, if my word isn't asking and sinking deep into your heart and into your mind and into your spirit, how will you get wisdom that comes from above? I've told you time and time again, my ways are for above, far above your ways. But I've told you that when you search and seek for wisdom, I will give it to you. I will give it to you in double portion. So again, remember, now is the time. Wake up, stand up, speak up in love, in mercy, but in truth, a truth that cannot be compromised at any cost. Be firm, be vigilant, for now is the hour for you to go and bear fruit that will last. Heed my word. Now, isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? This is what I sense the Lord wanted me to say today, to share these words from a book that has been approved prophetically, prophetic words in the silence of my heart, volume 4, approved by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia as they scan over to make sure that this is all in accordance with the sacred scriptures and the church. It's powerful. Now, I know Kathleen shares prophetic words every week, a locution it's called, sometimes from her prayer group, sometimes from one of her books, and then as she looks at the camera, she's in a prophetic mode with the Lord speaking directly to you. So today I really sense the Lord wanted me to share this with you in a very powerful way because someone who is listening needed these words today. It may only be one person. I don't know. It's one person who needed to hear these words today. Come away to a quiet place. Come away to a quiet place. This is God speaking to you because he wants to speak in the silence of our hearts, doesn't he? He wants to speak to us. And we're so busy. We're so scared of everything. I would have everyone know without any inner doubts, this is a continuation. I am the God of the impossible. With me, all things are possible. That's from the sacred scriptures, isn't it? I gave sight to the blind, made the lame walk. Those that could not speak, I gave a voice to proclaim the glory of God. So I say, tell others of my great mercy, of my great compassion, of my great love. I would have you listen to my word, and then I would have you ponder my word. Now think about the God who created you, speaking ever so gently and ever so tenderly from his heart to your heart. The God who loved you and fashioned you. Yes, fashioned you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, you were conceived in his mind and heart. So nothing is impossible for the Creator. I am the healer of healers. I am the Lord your God. I am the only true God. There is no other God. I ask you to place your hope, your trust in me. If I can raise the dead, make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak, what do you think would be impossible for me? And just as I overshadowed the one who was most highly favored, the one who was chosen in the fullness of time, just as I overshadowed, just as I blessed, just as I gave new life because of her compassion and cooperation, because of her yes, because of her word saying, let it be done. I ask you today, I ask each of you, do you not believe that I am? Do you believe that I would not help, heal, bind up your wounds? Do you not believe in the depth of my love for each and every one of you? I know your wounds. I know all the scars, all the words that have torn you down through your life rather than build you up. And I know how you have felt out of place. I know that you felt like you didn't fit in with others. And I know there were times growing up, and even today, that child screams out for healing. Because you could not satisfy, you could not be the person that you thought you should be. The son, the daughter, the worker, the boss, the friend, the mother, the sister, the brother. I am a God of the living, not of the dead. I want to heal you right now. I want to fill you with a peace that the world cannot rob you of. And I have seen your hurts, your tears, your fears, and even your doubts. And you ask, why can I not do the things that you call me to do? Why can I not act in the power of your Holy Spirit as you call me to? My child, you are a child, yet you know compared to the agelessness of God, I sent you, my Holy Spirit, to perfect you, to teach you, to strengthen you when you're weak, to caress you when you feel no one else appreciates you or that you don't use the gifts that I've given you. Many of you doubt that you even have gifts, and I have so many I want to reveal to you today so that my heart beats wildly when you turn to me. My heart rejoices when you come to spend time with me, when you visit me. Yes, I long to hold you close to my heart. I want to show you things that I have in store for you. Yes, for you. Things of good, not of woe. You see, by giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, I've made you a child of the kingdom. You're royalty today. You are royalty. You think I would not take care of my own? Do you think I would not heal your hearts when they're broken? Do you think I would not edify you when you feel downtrodden and useless? I tell you that I'm always in the midst of loving you into wholeness, even when you don't realize it. So after this break, my friends, we have so much more to talk about. We're talking about, are you afraid to embrace the cross? And we'll go through more examples. So stay tuned. So much more is to follow. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann McGloom, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today. Again, we're talking about, are we afraid to embrace the cross? And it's based on a retreat that Father Bill McCarthy, an author, a retreat director, gave many, many years ago, and I happened to be part of it. I actually brought him into Malvern Retreat House to give the retreat. And I remember this was part of his retreat and I had taken some notes. But I love the fact that he really brought to mind in our hearts that we need to embrace the cross. And I thought it was rather strange. But I wanted to share with you a memory. I did share this, I believe, a few months ago, that maybe 8 years ago, I had to have a spinal tap at a Philadelphia hospital. And I was terrified, literally terrified, because I heard nothing but horrible stories about the pain of people getting spinal taps. So I remember praying the rosary on the way into Philadelphia. And then when we got into the office, the doctor said, okay, I want you to sit on this table. And with my gown, the back open, I want you to lean your head into the wall. And I was shaking. I was so frightened because I'm waiting. Here goes the pain. So as I was doing that, I was praying, dear Jesus, please help me. He took me to the foot of the cross. He took me to the foot of the cross. And I visually wrapped my arms around the foot of the cross and laid my head into the foot of the cross. It was something that I didn't plan on visualizing. It happened. Jesus took me to the foot of the cross. I laid my head into the foot of the cross and wrapped my arms around the cross as I was waiting for the puncture and the pain. And then all of a sudden, the doctor says, okay, I'm finished. And I turned around and I said, but I didn't feel anything. He says, well, I'm very good at it. And I said, doctor, I are you sure you did it? He said, yeah, I did it. But then I realized the teaching of Father Bill McCarthy about embracing the cross. By embracing the cross and stepping out of myself, the Lord protected me. And I jumped off the table. I was so grateful. And I love to share that story because it was Father Bill McCarthy who taught me how to embrace the cross and those moments of horrendous suffering and the fear that had built up in me from hearing the horror stories from hospitals of spinal taps. I just couldn't believe that this doctor accomplished it and I didn't feel a thing, not even a tap on the back. And the Lord took me away to the foot of the cross as he wrapped my arms around the foot of the cross. So I am forever grateful for that imagery, for his taking me there. And that to me is embracing the cross at the moment of fear of what would happen. And he did literally take me to the foot of the cross. So I am forever grateful. And I pray that if you're going through something horrendous, that you visualize placing yourself at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother and St. John. Just stand there. Stand there, place your hands or your head on the cross and put your arms around the cross and say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So the other part of this teaching, my friends, deals with St. Padre Pio. Now, it's a long story, which I'll have my daughter share someday about what happened during her time of suffering with Padre Pio. But I have this little book, and I have no idea how I have it, who gave it to me. It had to be over 30 years ago. And many of you may have it. It's called Send Me Your Guardian Angel. Now, whenever I'm hurting or someone needs prayer, I always ask some of my priest friends all over the country to send their angels. So they, I always get a text, we're sending our angels and we're storming heaven. And that's from the writings of Padre Pio, believe it or not. And so many times I send my angel to someone when interceding for them. But this little book, I don't even know if it's in print anymore. Send Me Your Guardian Angel is so powerful. But I opened up to this chapter and I wanted to read it to you because I can't preach like some of these people write. So again, the Lord led me to this, and it's from Padre Pio. And it seems, now this is, I'm quoting this. It seems that the angels are well practiced in the art of waking people up from their peaceful slumber. Now, many times in ministry over all these years, I hear people saying, you know, I awakened at 3 a.m. and I think my guardian angels awakened me. I'm awakened to pray for people. Something, I could be in a dead sleep and I'm awakened to pray for someone or to intercede for someone. Now, throughout the Bible, we come across incidents when the angels did just that. When St. Peter was in prison, the angel of the Lord came to him and told him to get up. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood there and the cell was filled with light. And he tapped Peter on the side and woke him up saying, get up. He said, hurry. And the chains fell from his hands. Now, the angel then said, put on your belt and sandals. And after he had done this, the angel next said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Now, Peter followed him, but no idea that what the angel did was happening in reality. He thought he was seeing a vision while he was asleep. They passed through two guard posts, one after another, and reached the iron gate leading to the city. Now, this opened of its own accord. They passed through it and had walked the whole length of one street when suddenly the angel left them. It was only then that Peter came to himself saying, now I know it's all true. The Lord really did send his angel and has saved me from Herod and from all the Jewish people were so certain would happen to me. And also when the Christ child was on earth, after Herod's death, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother with you and go back to the land of Israel, for those who wanted to kill the child are dead. Now, this is written from a priest friend of Padre Pio. When I was assisting Padre Pio from 1959 to 1961 and from 1965 to 1968, because of the attacks of the devils, the comings and goings of the guardian angels, and his continuous ill health, I was constantly called to his side, so much so that I did not have enough time to sleep. Perhaps you, our listener, will be amused to hear that the only time for this priest to sleep, to get some sleep, was when Padre Pio was saying Mass, and during the time when he was hearing confessions. And when he was about to say Mass or celebrate Mass, he would customarily remove the woolen mittens from his hand, accompany him to his altar, and having completed this, he would run straight to his room, throw himself on the bed, and within a few minutes, he fell sound asleep, like a log. Now, this priest is talking. He said, it was my duty to assist Padre Pio from the altar at the end of Mass, so I had to guide him through the sacristy to the solitude of his cell, and many times my alarm clock did not wake me up as I was so deeply asleep, or sometimes half asleep, half awake. I would switch it off, and every time I overslept, I heard a knocking at my door. So realizing I was late, I would jump out of bed and run out into the long corridor to see who called me. But there was nobody there. I would race down the hallway to the church. And there I invariably found Padre Pio at the end of the Mass giving his last blessing. Now, the same thing happened when he went to hear confession. I accompanied him to the confessional box, helped him to sit down, ran to my room, set the alarm clock, and went straight to sleep. And as usual, my alarm clock served no purpose at all. No purpose. I always heard a voice in my deep sleep saying, Alessio, Alessio, come down. Realizing I was late, I would run down to the little church, and there I always found Padre Pio waiting for me. And usually he would not leave the confessional until there was someone at his side. And not only was he not able to walk alone through the crowds, but he knew that if he so much as attempted it, he would reach his room with his habit in pieces. Italian women were well equipped with scissors, and they would not be shy about using them to cut a relic for themselves. Now, the priest writes, the conclusion to this little story is one day I was sitting by Padre Pio's side in the sitting room, adjacent to a cell that had been one of those days during which I had not heard the alarm again, both for the end of Mass and the end of his confession time. I was feeling very much ashamed at my lack of punctuality, and I was trying to explain to Padre Pio that I had not heard the alarm again, but he interrupted me saying, yes, I understand you, but do you think I will continue to send my guardian angel every day to wake you up? You'd better go and buy yourself a new alarm clock. Now, it was only then that I realized who was knocking at my door in calling me to my sleep. It was Padre Pio's guardian angel. Yes, I was rather remiss on occasion while looking after Padre Pio, but maybe not quite so careless as the reader or you, the listener, would think. In fact, I'm told that Padre Pio appreciated very much the devoted manner in which I took rare care of him, as we will see. We will see. He said, my little daughter, he said to a little girl, don't let your imagination work too much. This imagination of yours, which is urged on by the heart, don't worry. There's somebody who takes care of you and somebody who takes care of me. Father Alessio is good-hearted. He's a little faithful puppy dog. I greet you in Jesus and Mary. What a joy to have one's self referred to in this manner by our beloved Padre Pio. That letter is quoted is the one that Father Alessio will treasure for the rest of his life. And when I find the going tough here, I pick it up and it never fails to reassure my spirit, that spirit which was consumed with joy during the years I spent at his side. And looking back on it all, I remember the wonderful days when I would become speechless at the beauty of his rosy face, which was the outer manifestation of his burning heart, absorbed with love for Jesus and Mary. how beautiful it was to go into his room and find him in ecstasy. How beautiful it was to see him leave his heavenly visitors, ready to share his gifts with souls through the sacrament of penance. And how beautiful it was to go to his confessional box, put my arm under his, and walk with him to his cell, where he would never stop thanking me for helping him in his old age. No, Padre Pio, it is I who must thank you for allowing me this great privilege and for opening up to my human eyes a little bit of heaven in my priestly life. And what can I say? Thank you, Padre Pio. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I love that story. Padre Pio confirmed the idea when he said, "The angels envy us for one thing only. They cannot suffer for God." Now, he did not use these words lightly, my friends, as one day after he had been attacked by the devils, his angel appeared to him saying, "Thank Jesus, who is treating you as one chosen to follow him up the steep ascent of Calvary, soul confided by Jesus to my care. I behold with joy and deep emotions this behavior of Jesus towards you. Do you perhaps think I should be so happy if I did not see you ill-treated like this? I, who in holy charity greatly desire your good, rejoice more and more to see you in this state. Jesus permits these assaults of the devil because his compassion makes you dear to him, and he wants you to resemble him in the torments in the desert, in the garden, on the cross." Without a doubt, Padre Pio did have an angel of all trades, one who gave messages to others, one who consoled, woke him up, gave him counsel, but much more, much, much more. He had a globe-trotting angel. He talked about a globe-trotting angel in this book that I wanted to share with you, and just so much more. And most of us at one time or another during our lives have shed tears, haven't we? I shed tears almost every day for something. Perhaps because of the death of a loved one, a hurt inflicted upon us by someone whom we considered a friend, or simply because of the sheer desire to relieve ourselves of something that had built up in us over a period of time. Now, I know that someone is listening right now. So this is for you. We look up at our tears as being utterly useless, don't we? I remember giving a retreat maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a women's retreat, and asking the women to write down their tears, what the name of the tear was, and to place it in a pillowcase that was on the altar before the Blessed Sacrament. Our tears are not useless. They're very powerful. Telling ourselves to buck up and do something to rectify the situation. Tears are not useless things, as we discover from Padre Pio's own words on the subject. When he said to someone who had been crying a lot, "Your tears were collected by the angels and were placed in a gold chalice, and you will find them when you present yourself before God." Isn't that powerful? Think about that. If you're crying sadness or you're crying, I want you to write down, what is the name of your tear today? You lost your job. You lost a loved one. A medical injury. I'm going to read this quote from Padre Pio again, because it, to me, it's the essence of what this program is about. "Your tears were collected by the angels and were placed in a gold chalice, and you will find them when you present yourself before God." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? It's just amazing. Your tears are not useless. You'll see them. They're being collected in a chalice. Thank your guardian angel who placed a cushion on every step for you to heaven today.
I know many of us think haven't even thought about our guardian angel. Do you remember the prayer? Guardian angel, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here. Ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. Amen. Are our children being taught this? Have you taught your grandchildren about this? Our guardian angels are waiting for action. They're waiting for action. I know some people, and it gets a little strange, name their guardian angels and think they're hearing the name of their guardian angel. That's not important. All the angels belong to Jesus. And Jesus wants us to send our angels out. If, say, for example, your loved one is out late and you're scared, you send Jesus, I send my guardian angel to their guardian angel to help them to get home safely. Or, Lord, I give you my guardian angel to my loved one's guardian angel in the hospital, and I ask that you guard and protect them in a very special way. Yes, this is what Padre Pio wants us to do. And that's why he wants us to send our guardian angels. And that's why some priest friends of mine, instead of long prayers, they'll write, I'm sending my guardian angels. I'm storming heaven with them. That's pretty powerful. I want you to think about that. Faithful friends are a sturdy shelter. Whoever finds one has found a treasure. Faithful friends are beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. Faithful friends are life-saving medicine, and those who fear the Lord will find them. Sirach 6, verses 14 to 16. So are we afraid to embrace the cross? Are we afraid? This is the answer. No. And if we are, ask the guardian angel to help you to embrace the cross, whatever cross it is that you're bearing today. Jesus wants us to embrace it, not to push it away, but to embrace it, to hold on to the bottom of the cross. Put your head, lean your head into the cross and say, Jesus, I give you this, or I give you that. I want to once again read one of the prophetic words that Kathleen had received in volume 4 in The Silence of My Heart, which, by the way, again, has an imprimatur in Mikhail Opstad. On this journey that you walk, this journey called life, this journey that each of you walk alone, but yet are surrounded by those that you love, companions on the way, do you realize that I walk with you along the journey? Do you realize, really understand that I'm with you always? I call you to walk in obedience. I call you to follow the example of my mother. Did she not accept everything? Oh, yes, she did. Did she not offer you the gift of her motherhood? Did she not offer you the gift of her son? It was indeed a journey that she had to walk. But again, I call you to realize this truth, to walk in obedience today. And when you walk in obedience along this journey of life, it's then you too can say to my mother, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. You too can live that message out when you keep your eyes on Jesus, when you recognize that you're on the journey with him. You do not walk alone. I am with you in your suffering, in your joys, in your triumphs, and I call you to walk in obedience, because when you walk in obedience, even your body shall be blessed, living witnesses, and will be blessed and anointed. And when you walk in obedience, you'll be living witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be a living witness to the people that are still walking in darkness. This is a big line from these prophetic words. You will be a living witness to the people that are still walking in darkness, and many are. If they do not walk in obedience to me, if they do not come and follow me, if they do not recognize me as Lord and Savior, if they do not recognize me as the one who was sent into the world to bring them to repentance so that I can forgive their sins, then surely they would be lost. And so I say to you, you, our dear listener today, accept my will in your life. Give me your amen. Let it be done to you according to my will. And the more you ponder this, the more you realize that I'm walking with you on this road, the road that will lead you to everlasting life when you come and follow me, when you seek my will over your will, when you surrender all those things in your life that are stumbling blocks that would draw you away from me rather than draw you to me. And when you do that in obedience, you shall be blessed mightily, not only in your spirit, but in your mind, in your heart, and yes, the body too is for the Lord. And so I will bless you, anoint you, and I call you to take this anointing out to the world, the anointing of my Holy Spirit living in you. And when you do, when you recognize me in the breaking of the bread, when you recognize my mother as your mother, when you recognize me walking alongside you, I want to converse with you, but you don't even give me the time of day. I want to sing a new song in your heart. I want to fill you with that wisdom that comes from above. I want to send you out into the world to go out and make disciples, but I want to equip you with every good thing for every good work. You lack nothing. And so tonight, I call you to that obedience, and to that obedience in times of sorrow and strife and struggle and suffering and joy and jubilation and moments of triumph. I will indeed set your hearts on fire as you recognize me, as you recognize my presence in one another, and recognize that I'm your companion and I'm walking along the way with you. You are never, ever alone. I really hope and pray that these words have touched you in a powerful way today. I pray that you will embrace the cross, that you will embrace your guardian angel, and when in need, send your guardian angel to help someone else and their angel. I pray that you will become a disciple of Christ, that you will embrace the power of the cross, the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, it doesn't get any more powerful than this. So when you are struggling in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, close your eyes and say, Jesus, I embrace the cross. Teach me how to love others with joy in the midst of my suffering. Teach me to call upon my guardian angel to be with me, to go out and to serve others. Teach me to pray from the depths of my heart, from the depths of my heart. Teach me, Lord, for I am listening. For you see, suffering is not, it's not something you throw out the window and say, okay, I'm suffering. Make use of that suffering. Embrace that suffering today, no matter who you are or where you are. We are all called to be disciples of Christ. We are all called to center our lives on the Eucharistic heart of Christ. Until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are loved. God bless you.
Be alert, stand firm, trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in.